Tonight we're going to be continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer, focusing on the petition, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that's why we've been talking a little bit already tonight about being forgiven and how it feels to be forgiven freely and completely. So we're going to be looking at that tonight. We're going to be looking at that through a parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 18, and also as the Heidelberg Catechism addresses that question. First of all, we'll be reading from Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, the parable of the unmerciful servant. And there we read these words. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, which is several million dollars, was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is a couple bucks. He grabbed him, and he began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This, says Jesus, in conclusion, is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And then Lord's Day 51 of the Catechism, question and answer 126. If you just follow along with me as I read, what does the fifth request mean? Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors means. Because of Christ's blood, do not hold against us, poor sinners that we are, any of the sins we do, or the evil that constantly clings to us. Forgive us, just as we are fully determined, as evidence of your grace in us, to forgive our neighbors. Let's pray. Lord God, this petition is part of the prayer that you taught us through your disciples. And as such, Lord, it is very important to us. Very important to us because you gave it to us, and very important to us because we want to do your will, and very important to us because it seems very, very strict. So we want to understand it, Lord. And we ask that you would speak to us through your word tonight, that we may forgive as we've been forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. I once heard a man say that he could tell just about everything about a person by going through their checkbook. And after thinking about that for a while, I think he's probably right. The way that we handle our money says an awful lot about the kind of people we are. And if you track the way a person spends their money and the way a person doesn't spend their money, you get a pretty good feeling as to the kind of people they are. And I think it's because of that fact that Scripture so often uses money to get at other things, as Jesus does here in Matthew 18, to get at the whole concept of forgiveness. Money, in so many ways, shows the way we react in other areas of our life. So here, too, the way that we treat money or what we feel is owed to us is directly related to the way that we deal in forgiveness, also what we feel is owed to us. It occurred to me this week that money and forgiveness have a couple of things in common, a couple of very important things in common, and one of them is that we all want it. We all want money, and we all want forgiveness. And the other thing that they have in common is that we don't give any of them away very easily. We don't give our money away very easily, and we don't give forgiveness away very easily. And in a world like that, where both money and forgiveness have those things in common, that we all want them, it's kind of like good starting pitching. Everybody wants it, and nobody wants to give it away. Money and forgiveness are the same thing. And in a world like that, the only way that you get those things is by earning them. And we tend to deal with both money and forgiveness in that way. We don't give the waitress a good tip unless we feel that she's done an extraordinary job. And we don't forgive those who have wronged us unless we feel that in some way they earn that forgiveness. They have done something that justifies their being forgiven for the wrong that they've done to us. There are two ways that I can think of that we feel people can earn forgiveness. And the first of them is kind of strange, but it makes sense if you think about it, and that is that if they don't need it very often. It seems as though we give people a certain amount of capital to use, a certain amount of trust. And if they don't have to come to us to be forgiven too much, then in some sense, they earned that. We can see our way toward forgiving them if they don't need it very often. It's easier for me to forgive someone who has never wronged me before or who almost never wrongs me than it is for me to forgive someone who wrongs me all the time. In some sense, the person that has never wronged me before or still has a lot of capital left, I can forgive much easier. Somehow they've earned it by being good for such a long period of time. And that's kind of what Peter is getting at the beginning of this passage. When he asks Jesus, he says, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" He's saying, how long does that capital last in your kingdom? How many times can a brother keep coming back to me and expect me to still give him that forgiveness? Should I wait seven times? Is that long enough for me to wait? Peter is saying, at what point can I justifiably refuse? At what point, after how many occurrences, can I finally say, I'm sorry, you've used up your allotted amount of forgiveness. You've used up all that capital, and at this point, you simply don't deserve it. You've wronged me too many times. Over and over again, you've wronged me. And this is the end. I can't forgive you anymore, or I won't forgive you anymore. At what point does that happen? And Jesus' response to him must have been quite shocking. You see, it was Jewish tradition that it was appropriate to forgive a brother as many as four times. You could forgive a brother as many as four times, and if you did that, if you forgave a brother four times, then you were showing quite a lot of forgiveness. You were showing quite a lot of patience. You were telling that person that you had given them quite a lot of capital to work with before you cut them off. And so Peter must have thought that he was really raising the ante a little bit by saying, Lord, as many as 7 times? Can we go that far? Can I afford to give someone forgiveness up to 7 times? But Jesus' answer, as I said, must have shocked him. Because Jesus says not just 7 times, but 77 times, or 70 times 7. Now, when Jesus says that, Jesus isn't just raising the number. He's not just saying, Peter, you're close, but you got to multiply it times 11. What Jesus is doing is he's making that number infinite. Because Jesus is playing on words from Genesis. See, way back in Genesis chapter 4, there was a man named Lamech. And Lamech was a descendant of Cain. Cain, the one who killed his brother Abel. And then God sent him away. But before he sent him away, God put a mark on Cain. And God said that if anybody harms Cain, God will avenge him 7 times. Well, Lamech, a descendant of Cain, was wronged by someone. Someone wounded him. And Lamech decided to kill him. And when Lamech came home and told his wives what he had done, "I have killed a man for wounding me," he said, "If Cain is avenged 7 times, then Lamech 77 times." In other words, what Lamech was saying is, if God is going to avenge Cain as many as 7 times, if somebody wrongs him, then I'm going to avenge somebody who wrongs me 77 times. Basically, don't anybody mess with me. I'm a man of vengeance. And if you harm me, I will harm you more than you can imagine. And so when Jesus uses these words, he's saying basically the opposite of what Lamech had said. When Peter asks, "How much can I forgive?" 7 times, Jesus says, "No, 77 times." In other words, in my kingdom, there is no limit to the amount of forgiveness that we give out. No limit. It's infinite. So there's no reason to start counting, or no reason to keep track of how many times it's been, because it doesn't matter how many times it's been. Forgiveness in God's kingdom is given out over and over and over again. 77 times, or 70 times 7. So this tendency that we have to only want to forgive people who have earned it in some sense, and specifically in the sense of not having needed it very often, is wrong. It shouldn't matter to us whether someone has never wronged us before or if they've wronged us 1,000 times. Forgiveness in God's kingdom is infinite. It's freely given over and over again. Now there's another way, though, that we think that people can earn our forgiveness, and that is by doing something to make up for it. You know, it might take a long time. You may hold out on them for years, but after a significant period of time, when you feel as though they've gone through enough penitence and enough torture and enough turmoil, and they've paid a certain level of cost, then you feel as though they've earned it and you can give them the forgiveness. And that's what Jesus addresses here in the parable. The parable has 3 scenes to it. In the first scene, the king is settling accounts. And as he's settling accounts, a man is brought into him, a servant is brought into him who owes him millions of dollars. And obviously, he's not going to be able to pay it back. Now, by all rights, the king could have him and his family sold off, and he had already given the order. He said, "You cannot pay the debt. You owe the debt. I'm selling you into slavery." He had the right to do that. But something else happened instead. When the servant fell on his knees and pleaded with him, something happened. It wasn't that something happened to the servant. It was that something happened to the master. And while he had every right to sell him into slavery, he changed his mind. And he based his decision not on the rights that he had, not on the fact that that servant was justifiably in debt and could justifiably be punished. He didn't deal in those terms. He dealt on the grounds of compassion. Because when he saw that servant, he had compassion on him. And rather than going about with what he had intended to do, rather than going about with what he had every right to do, that of selling him off to try to pay the debt, he went a completely other direction. And he canceled the debt altogether. Rather than dealing on the grounds of rights, he dealt on the level of compassion. And he forgave the debt. And that servant walked out a free man. Now, part of us wants to say, well, for a servant to rack up that much debt, he has to be the most irresponsible servant in the world. I mean, he doesn't have this coming to him. He certainly has not earned this. He's irresponsible. He's squandered everything his master has given him. And he must have been doing it for a long time to rack up this kind of debt. But who knows that more than the master? Who knows it more than the one who gave him the money that he squandered? Who knows more than the master how this servant had been irresponsible? And yet none of those things mattered to the master. Because when the master heard his servant beg, ask, the master was moved not by facts and figures or rights. He was moved by compassion. And so he forgave him. So he left a free man. In just a few minutes, he went from having the king already order that he and his family be sold into slavery to walking out with no debt whatsoever. How does that feel? We know how that feels, don't we? How does it feel to be forgiven? Just think about that for a minute. How does it feel to be forgiven? And yet when the servant left, almost immediately he ran into somebody else, a fellow servant, someone who was on his same level, who owed him a couple bucks. But rather than reflecting on the great gift he had been given by the master, that he had just been forgiven millions of dollars worth of debt, rather than reflecting on that and passing that on, he chokes his fellow servant and tells him to pay back what he owes him. And when his fellow servant falls on his knees, the same way he did before the master, and asks him to be patient, the same way he did with the master, this servant doesn't act the same way the master did. It seems like this servant isn't the kind of pushover that the master was. There must have been some difference in that servant's mind between his dealing with the fellow servant and the master's dealing with him, almost as though he had earned his forgiveness somehow. Almost as though when the master saw him on his knees, he must have seen through the unfortunate circumstances of his life, through all of the terrible things that he had just fallen into. He saw how this poor servant was just a victim of circumstance, and that his big debt was really not his doing. It was just something that happened to him. And so the master thought, I'll forgive you. In the servant's mind was some kind of double standard. My fellow servant does not deserve to be forgiven because he has done this of his own free will. But me, I'm somehow different. And the master knows that. See, the servant didn't think that he had been forgiven just out of the master's compassion. He thought there must be some difference. Isn't that the way we often feel? We know that we're debtors. None of us would say we're not. And yet there's something inside of us that says, but it's because of my unfortunate circumstances. It's because of the way I grew up, or the house that I live in, or my job at work, or it's for some other reason than me. And so when the master looks at me, he sees my unfortunate circumstances, and he sees past that to the good that's inside me, and he says, you're good enough to be forgiven. Somehow we think that the master forgave us because we earned it somehow. And so it's just quite natural then when we think of forgiving others, we expect the same thing. Somehow they need to earn that from us. We make the mistake of somehow thinking that forgiveness in God's kingdom is earned, the same way that it's earned in our world, just as this servant did. And so instead of having compassion for this fellow servant, he takes advantage of his vulnerability, and he goes the route of rights and not of compassion. Whereas the master had cast aside his rights, he had every right to punish the servant. He chose not to because he had compassion. The servant didn't. He went the route of rights. Jesus doesn't say that the fellow servant really didn't owe him that couple bucks. He did. And the fellow servant had every right to hold him to it. But in the kingdom of God, it's not about rights. It's about compassion. So you may have someone that genuinely owes you something. They have wronged you, and it's justifiable. They wronged you, and you have every right to make them pay. But it's not about rights. God doesn't deal on that level. In His kingdom, it's not about rights. It's about compassion. And that's where forgiveness comes from. And so when the master hears the news of what the servant has done, he's enraged. And he says, "You wicked servant. I canceled all of that debt that you had because you begged me. All of that debt," he says, "that you could never pay back. Shouldn't you have had the same compassion on your fellow servant that I had on you?" And then he turned the man over to the jailer for him to be tortured, it says, until he should pay it all back, which we all know he couldn't do. In the kingdom of God, forgiveness isn't earned, either by not having to ask for it very often or by doing something to make up for it. Forgiveness isn't earned. It's asked for and it's freely given. And that's when we get to verse 35, which is probably the most difficult one, where Jesus says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you," that is, giving you to the jailer to be tortured. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." It's the most clear verses that are the most difficult to deal with. Jesus' point here is pretty simple. Those who have experienced the free forgiveness of God, who understand that they have been forgiven, not because they somehow have earned it or because they're somehow better than somebody else, but simply because of the compassion of God, will necessarily be people who give out forgiveness in the same way. And so then, looking at it from the other side, if a person is someone who does not give forgiveness freely, then by definition, they have not experienced the free forgiveness of God. And so forgiveness will be given to them in the same way that they demand it of others. So if you demand that somebody earn your forgiveness, then God will demand that you earn His. The Lord's Prayer. We've been saying all along that the Lord's Prayer is a prayer about needs, that God calls on us to ask for what we need. And it seems to me we need this petition in more than one way. First of all, we need forgiveness. And every one of us will attest to that. But secondly, There is something about us that needs to know that it's directly linked to the way we forgive others. Or else, we will begin to think that we get forgiveness from God because of who we are, or because we've earned it somehow. But if, in the prayer itself, we ask God to forgive us just as we forgive our debtors, then we won't make that mistake. And we'll be forced to take forgiveness out of the column of things that you earn and put it into the column of things that are freely given. We need it. And we need to know that we need to give it. What does it take for you to forgive someone? I have been a part of enough congregations to know that there are people in congregations who have not forgiven each other. I'm sorry about this, but why is that? How can people sit in the same sanctuary and worship God together and not forgive each other? It doesn't make sense. The only way it makes sense out of this text is that those people who cannot forgive each other have not experienced the free forgiveness of God. As you forgive others, in that way God will forgive you. In thinking about this week, I came across a quote by C.S. Lewis about forgiveness. And he says, "To forgive the incessant provocations of daily life, to keep on forgiving the bossy mother-in-law, the bullying husband, the nagging wife, the selfish daughter, the deceitful son, how can we do it? Only, I think, by remembering where we stand, by meaning our words when we say in our prayers each night, 'Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.' We are offered forgiveness on no other terms. To refuse it is to refuse God's mercy for ourselves. There is no hint of exceptions, and God means what he says." There's a direct link. And so I ask you, is forgiveness something that people need to earn from you? Or do you give it in the same way you've received it, freely and over again? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we all here profess to be forgiven. And that means that we all know the wonder of your free grace poured out on us, not because of who we are, but because you are a merciful God. And so we ask, Lord, that we would more and more be like you, and that relationships that have been scarred because people will not forgive will be mended, that we would give our forgiveness as freely as you have given yours. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.